Greetings, ACAC Church family. This is Pastor George once again this week, and it seems as though I may be with you for a while, at least until we're finished riding out this pandemic together. As you can imagine, Pastor Rock, Allen, and the rest of our leadership team have been diverted to more urgent matters as they discern how to best lead us through these unprecedented times. In the meantime, I count it a great privilege to be able to share with you each week from the Scriptures. Before we begin, however, let me just say that Jesus isn't nervous over this pandemic, and it certainly didn't take him by surprise. Therefore, no matter what lies ahead, know that our God is firmly in control, and it should bring us great comfort knowing that we belong to Him and we're citizens of His eternal kingdom. The one we dwell in right now is only temporary anyway. And as I was praying earlier this week, I came across a passage in Matthew chapter 6 that reminded me that we have nothing to fear. Jesus said these familiar words in verses 33 and 34. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So during these uncertain times, it's good to be reminded of the main thing, and that is Jesus is Lord, and that's never going to change. That being said, let's jump into week number 60, which consisted of the first 15 chapters of the book of Jeremiah. And I'll just begin by saying, wow, because these were difficult chapters to digest. Jeremiah begins these prophecies in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah, and 5 years before Josiah rediscovered the lost book of God's law in the temple that we talked about last week. And if you recall, the principle we examined last week was this: God honors and embraces genuine humility and repentance. And we saw how Josiah modeled those two things during his reign as king of Judah, even though his father, and especially his grandfather Manasseh, were two of the most wicked kings to ever sit upon the throne. And so, as I began to read this week, last week's principle reappeared in a big way, as God charged both Israel and Judah of spiritual adultery for abandoning Him for the pursuit and love of false gods. God said in verse 11 of chapter 2, "My people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols." And in these chapters, we see God indict them of unfaithfulness and abandonment and rebellion and wickedness and corruption, among other things. And to make matters worse, if that were even possible, the people actually denied the charges. Look at verse 23. "That's not true. I haven't worshipped the images of Baal," the people said. And again in verse 35, "I have done nothing wrong. Surely God isn't angry with me." It's bad enough that they rebelled against the one true God, but then they refused to acknowledge their sin. And you know what the scary part is? They were blind to their sin. They couldn't acknowledge it because they could no longer even see it. Because that's what sin does if it's not dealt with properly. It disguises and camouflages itself, and it hides behind denials and rationalizations and justifications and excuses, to the point where sin is no longer recognizable for what it is. And therein lies the deception, because Romans 6:23 warns us that the wages of sin is death. But God was obviously not fooled by their denials. And if you turn to chapter 3, we can see how this plays itself out. Now, this is utterly amazing to me, because in spite of all their sin, here we see God inviting them onto the pathway of redemption and restoration once again, and that pathway always begins with humility and repentance, the very things we looked at last week. Take a look at verse 13. The Lord says, acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice. In order to be redeemed, they needed to acknowledge, admit, and confess their sin. And then in verse 14, God says, return home, you wayward children. God once again offers them an invitation to repentance by leaving their worthless idols and returning home to him, something they sadly refused to do. God honors and embraces genuine humility and repentance. In fact, those are the keys to the kingdom. And we, as kingdom people, also need to practice those things if we want to advance in his kingdom. You see, it's a dangerous thing to hide or deny sin, whether we're in the kingdom or not, because sin always demands consequences. And the longer we permit sin to fester and incubate, the harder it becomes to recognize and acknowledge it. In other words, we can become comfortable with sin and accustomed to it. Jesus went to the cross to rescue us from the effects and consequences of sin. That means we no longer have to become slaves to sin because of what Jesus accomplished on our behalf. Let me finish with a final concerning observation. And these chapters are full of those, to say the least. These were not pagans or unbelievers that God is addressing. At least they didn't start out that way. These were God's people doing religious activities in church. In fact, chapter 7 informs us that Jeremiah was deployed by God to the entrance of the temple itself to deliver and proclaim these allegations against God's people. Look at verses 9 and 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, lie, and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours, and then come in here and stand before me in my temple and chant, we are safe, only to go right back out and commit all those evils again? You see, we don't grow or advance our faith by attending church services or participating in church activities. Instead, we grow in our faith by seeking to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and loving others and learning to cultivate a humble and obedient heart before him, and also learning to deal with sin properly through confession and repentance whenever it surfaces in our life. Remember, God honors and embraces genuine humility and repentance. Well, that's it for this week. For next week, it looks like we're going to stay in Jeremiah as well. So let's dig in and see what the Lord would say to us. This is Pastor George. In spite of all the turmoil, Jesus is on the throne, and have a great week.